from KCRW. I'm Bob Carlson, and this is Unfictional.
They would not include me. I would just stay in my corner while they ate or did whatever they were doing as a family.
On this episode, The Rescue.
Have you ever heard of the word slave, which is alipin in our language? And so what do you think when people say you're like a slave?
Unfictional is a program of true stories, personal documentaries, and radio movies. A person living as a slave in a suburb in America doesn't seem possible, but it happens. And sometimes a situation can start out as something more straightforward and above board. For example, in the Philippines, there's an historical cultural tradition of helping out your family and extended family.
So in the Philippines, the patronage system in which a wealthier family member brings in a much poorer member of their extended family to their household, it's quite common.
I spoke to Rachel Pereñas.
And I'm a professor of sociology and gender and sexuality studies at the University of Southern California.
And she studied the migration of domestic workers from the Philippines.
So I know that in the Philippines, there is this strong extended kinship. And so your sense of family extends way beyond your nuclear family.
So let's say a Filipino family comes to the United States to start a business. They can bring over a member of their extended family to work not for a salary, but for something even more valuable.
That's how they would give them a visa. So they would bring them into their household. Among Filipino domestic workers here in the United States, there's actually a sizable number that were quote unquote sponsored by a Filipino family.
But in the wrong household, a situation can turn darker. That's what happened in the story on this episode.
I would say that Fidelina's story is definitely one of slavery.
Fidelina is the name of the woman in this story. And a situation like hers can turn bad slowly over time without realizing it until the position has gone from unpaid worker to slave.
I follow the definition given by the eminent sociologist Orlando Patterson. And he says, you have to experience violent domination, you have to experience natal alienation, and that you experience the erasure of your dignity.
And Orlando Patterson defined that term natal alienation as the alienation of a person from all formal, legally enforceable ties of blood and from all rights or claims of birth.
And I would just say that the situation of Fidelina here in Los Angeles is probably like the worst case scenario that individuals in that situation would ever face.
It's the story of how a woman was found living as a modern-day slave for decades and how she was finally able to leave. And a warning that there is one use of the F word in this story, in English and Tagalog. The reporter is Paulina Velasco. And from KCRW, it's Unfictional and The Rescue.
Sometime in late 2017 or early 2018, two older Filipino women showed up at a hospital in Los Angeles. One woman was in her late 70s, the other maybe her early 80s. The younger one was having a medical emergency and needed to be put on dialysis. The older one was her companion. Then the older companion did something strange. She begged a nurse to give her some food. And after she ate, she vomited and fainted. The nurse alerted the hospital social worker. Early one morning in 2018, in a gated community in Northridge, the FBI knocked for the first time on the door of the Cox family house.
They would come early, around 6 a.m., and they were always drinking coffee.
They were looking to speak to Fidelina Lugasan.
My name is Fidelina Lugasan.
That's Fidelina. She mostly speaks in Tagalog, so you'll hear an actor translating.
Ako si Fidelina Lugasan.
I am Fidelina Lugasan. I am from Manila.
Manila.
She was the domestic servant at the household, nurse, caretaker, cook, maid, for an elderly lady named Benedicta Cox. The FBI were asking her to leave because they'd found out that she was working without being paid.
The FBI would show up at my front door, and I would go outside to meet with them. They were trying to convince me to leave because I was not being paid.
They'd ask Fidelina to go outside and talk to them.
There were four people who would come. Two Filipinas and two white ladies.
Like the Charlie's Angels women. And they spoke so gently.
There were two law enforcement agents, a Tagalog English translator, and this woman, Mirla.
I'm Mirla Baldonado, and I'm the lead organizer of the Filipino Workers' Center. The Workers' Center assists in empowering domestic workers and low-income workers, Filipino-American workers, for their lives to improve, getting more rights or enforcement of laws so they could get the right wages that they should be getting.
Law enforcement needed someone from the Filipino community to come along to their visits with Fidelina. So they called the PWC, where Mirla works.
Our human trafficking program case manager called me and she said, "Do you have time to go and rescue somebody?"
Other people on the manager's team weren't responding to her, and Mirla's basically always at the office.
Yeah, I pick up the phone easily. People hate me for me calling at the wee hours of the morning or whatever. But I pick up the phone. If I have time, I'll do it.
Mirla was told to meet these FBI agents, the Charlie's Angels, as she calls them, at a coffee shop at a mall in Northridge.
And that first morning, I was given a briefing on what the case was about, but you could hardly grapple with what was given to you.
She says they didn't tell her much, just the bare minimum.
So yeah, they told me that I'm just going to be there and be helping them encourage the person to be rescued, to get out of her employer's place. I think the only question I asked was, what is the possibility of her coming with us today? Oh, we've been doing this for quite some time now. It's not very likely that she will come with us.
Mirna will go to my house. And then she asked me, "Go with me now." I said, "No." But this lady said, "You have a good house, you can live." I said, "No, I don't like." Mirna says, "Go with me now, with the lady." I said, "No."
At first, Mirla thought the FBI could just pick Fidelina up and rescue her.
I started to realize it seems like they cannot force the person to go with them. It's like she has to go on her own volition.
But Fidelina wasn't ready to do that yet.
Pinipilit nila ako nga umalis.
They really wanted me to go with them, but I could not just leave.
Pero na
who would be left to take care of my employer?
Walang magbabantay.
And that was frustrating for Mirla.
So they had to really wait for her to make a decision. I mean, here you are, law enforcement agency. How come you cannot command this person to go with you? But it appears like you cannot force her to go with you.
So she kept going back to visit Fidelina over and over again.
I think it was every week for 2 months. Yeah, and every time I would go, I would figure out to have something to say to her, something where she will feel like she will increase trust in me. And so I had to explain to her that we have taken care of a lot of people who are in the same situation, and they got a visa to stay in the U.S. and they were even able to reunite with their families.
But it took a while for Fidelina to take it all in.
The other day I was talking to her and I said, Why did you not go with us right away? Oh, because I didn't even know you.
And why would Fedelina trust Mirla, who she had just met 2 months ago, over the family that she had worked for nearly 70 years? Fedelina was born in Leyte, in the Philippines, an island near the center of the country. Then she moved to the capital to live with her niece, and not long afterwards she was hired by a middle-class family to be their live-in housekeeper in Manila, the Cox family. Sometime in the 70s or 80s, Fedelina says it was 1974, reports say 1980, Benedicta Cox, who the family called Benji for short, brought Fedelina to the U.S. to take care of her sister. Fedelina would have been in her late 30s or early 40s.
Ngayon, nung kinuha ako ng Pilipina.
When she brought me to the U.S., she told me, "Do not worry. They are nice people. They will treat you like family." That was a lie.
Pagdating ko rito, hindi pala totoo.
Did you know anyone else in the U.S. when you came?
No.
I did not know anyone in the U.S. And when they brought me, they told me I would be taking care of just one person, Benji's sister, just her. I had no idea I was going to be looking after the entire family.
Fidelina found herself taking care of Benji's entire family. Benji's mother, her children and grandchildren, her sister and her sister's children and grandchildren.
Nagbabas ako.
Every morning, I would get up, take the bus from where I was living with Benji to the other house so I could take care of the other family. I would wake up at 4:30 in the morning to get to the bus stop by 6. The families live far apart, and I did not have a car, so I had to take the bus to get between the houses. And when I got there, I would take care of everything in the house. Cook, clean, do the laundry, iron clothes, and look after the kids. That was my job.
But a job where she wasn't getting paid at all. She was doing all that work for no money.
When the lady said, "Can you cook me this, I cook. See it first before me. Sometimes I did not eat. I'm cleaning. I'm cooking. She took to me bad word. I did not answer. I go out and clean outside. After that, I go inside the house to cook for dinner."
She would cook for Benji's grandchildren when they visited, and Benji would take the credit. They didn't include her in family dinners, even though she did all the cooking. They never asked her to jump in on family photos, and she would go outside when everyone was eating.
Sometimes I go out, and then the grandchildren call me, "Come and get inside." And then I go inside, and then if she did not ask me to come, no, I will not go there. Tsaka hindi ako sing it.
I never wanted to ask them for anything, not even on holidays like Christmas or Thanksgiving. I was always there, but I would not ask to eat with them or to be included in anything they did.
Pag Thanksgiving, Pasko.
And usually, they would not include me. Usually, I would just stay in my corner while they ate or did whatever they were doing as a family.
The only people who she says would ask her to be in photos or eat dinner with them were Benji's sister and the sister's son. Benji's sister would take her on family trips.
She would give me money and invite me out with them. Whenever she would invite me, I would try to protest and say that I had work to do and that I should stay behind. But she would not take no for an answer. She would say, "Your chores can wait. If I tell you to come with us, you should come. I am the one inviting you."
I go to Julian.
Julian, the cute California town known for its Apple Days festival.
I always went along with her. She never left me behind. When we went to Julian, I got to try warm apple pie. I picked apples, oranges, cherries, and grapes.
Cherry, ubas, apple pie. It's too sweet.
Oh, I love it.
Like this big.
Yeah, the Julian ones are
very amazing. Then pick the apple, orange, cherry, and grapes. That lady told me, when we are going somewhere, you always go. Everybody will go out.
But then Benji's sister died of an asthma attack on a trip to Las Vegas. And things got worse for Fidelina.
Ngayon, ang sabi ng...
Benji accused me of killing her sister.
Fidelina wasn't even on that trip. The accusation didn't make any sense, but that didn't stop Benji from making it.
Para siguro sabihin.
She said the cops were going to arrest me for killing her sister.
From KCRW, it's Unfictional. I'm Bob Carlson, and this is an episode called The Rescue. And the story continues in a moment.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
From KCRW, it's Unfictional. I'm Bob Carlson, and this is an episode called The Rescue. And the only person who ever took Fidelina anywhere, the only one who ever gave her any money, is now dead. And Fidelina's employer, Benji, is accusing her of killing her sister.
Benji used the accusation as a threat to keep Fidelina from leaving. And with his sister's death, Fidelina was left to take care of just Benji. Both of them older women at this point, living alone in a big house. Fidelina slept on the floor next to Benji's bed.
Dalawa lang kami sa isang bahay.
It was just the two of us. She had three rooms in her house, but I still slept on the floor.
Sa sahig.
Even when I got sick, she would not give me medicine or go get me food.
Binibigyan ng gamot.
I would have to force myself to stand just so I could go and get food and water.
Makainom ng tubig.
Benji would accuse Fidelina of stealing her jewelry and threaten to call the cops on her.
She would say to me, "If you leave, I will have you arrested." And I would tell her, "Go ahead. Ask the cops to dig through my things. Let us see if they find anything."
Are you familiar with the word alipin? Mirla asks Fidelina.
Have you ever heard of the word slave, which is alipin in our language? And so what do you think when people say you're like a slave?
I could not leave the house. When Bitchy's sister was alive, she would take me with her wherever she went. She would not trap me in the house like Benji did.
Yes, she is, because she couldn't leave to go around and be free. She thinks, yes, she was.
When Mirla asks Fedelina if not getting paid was an issue, she brushes it off. Still, she only ever had money when Benji's nephew would give her some, and she'd use it to do the one thing that made her feel free. She'd go out.
I ride the bus. I know how to ride the bus. Back in port, I go to Giuseppini, there's Robinson in Nisi.
For clothing?
Yeah. I ride the bus. I go to Victoria's Secret. Yeah.
But then when Benji would catch wind that she had some cash, she'd get into a fight with Fidelina about buying food.
If somebody give you money, buy your own food because you have money. Don't eat my food because I count. She told me. And I said, I will not eat your food.
And maybe that's why Fidelina didn't always eat. And why she fainted that fateful day at the hospital when she brought Benji in for an emergency.
She was taking care of this woman who was on dialysis already, and she had to go to the hospital. When she was confined in the hospital, Fidelina, as her companion there, she fainted.
Ngayon, hindi ako binigyan ng pagkain isang araw.
One day, I had not eaten anything. Benji was on dialysis at the hospital, and there was a Filipino nurse supervising the treatment. I was embarrassed, but I was so hungry. So I told him, I am embarrassed to ask you this, but I am starving. Could I get something to eat?
Nagugutom ako. Nakakahiya man.
He was kind about it. He said, do not worry about it, Nanay. I will go down to the kitchen and get you something to eat.
Kukuha kita ng pagkain sa kitchen.
But then, after I ate, I started to feel sick. And then I vomited.
Nagsuka ako.
And the nurse who gave Fidelina the food told the hospital social worker.
The nurse who gave me the food alerted the hospital.
She looked like she was malnourished and she wasn't being taken care of well. She looked different. She didn't look normal. She was like a kept, you know, somebody you keep at home. It shows that she was just so domesticated and so tied to this person that she was taking care of.
And the social worker started asking Fidelina some questions.
Ngayon, may Pilipina.
The social worker was Filipino and asked me all these questions. If Benji's family paid me a proper salary, if I was given regular meals, if I was free to go out, and how many days a week I work.
And Fidelina, she lied.
Nagsinungaling ako.
I told them I was paid for my work, that I could go out as much as I wanted, and that I was given proper meals. I did not want Benji's family to get in trouble. I would rather take the blame than they get in trouble.
Fidelina says Benji found out that she had talked to a social worker. She tried to tell Benji that she hadn't said anything. It might have been the nurse or social worker. Somebody didn't believe Fidelina and knew she was covering up for her employer. Because not long after that, the FBI came knocking. And Fidelina's home turned into a pressure cooker.
Kasi nagalit sila nung umalis.
The FBI showing up caused problems with Benji's family. They got mad at me. They asked me what I told the FBI, why they were there all the time. And I told them, I do not know. I have no idea.
Wala akong alam. Sinigawan ako.
Benji shouted at me. She said, fuck you. I said it right back. Fuck you too.
Benji told Fidelina the FBI was going to take advantage of her.
Tapos yun, sabi ni Benedicta.
Who? Benji told me the FBI was going to enslave me. And then when I told the FBI what she had said, they said, no. Benji just does not want you to leave because then there will be no one to look after her.
Walang magbabantay sa kanya.
Fidelina was feeling pressure from all sides. It was all up to her. She was the one that had to decide what to do. She was still thinking of Benji's welfare. This was someone she had taken care of for so long. She couldn't just leave. Benji had a chauffeur, and he'd gotten wind of what was happening with the FBI and Fidelina.
Ano yung...
The final straw was when the driver took Benji's side.
At saka yun took there.
And he confronted me like, make up your mind. Are you going with the FBI or staying with Benji? That made me mad. The chauffeur did not get it. He was paid.
Yung chauffeur.
How could he be so flippant towards Fidelina when he's getting paid and she's not, she thought. The only person who ever slipped her any money was Benji's nephew. And he was visiting one day when Benji and Fidelina got into a screaming match.
Sabi ni Robin.
And Benji's nephew said to her, what did Fidelina ever do wrong? If you do not want her around anymore, give her some money so she can go home. And that made Benji mad. She yelled right back, I am your auntie. How could you take her side? And she said, she is not part of our family.
But he did. He took Fidelina's side.
He said, Fidelina and I are not related, but you are the one who is wrong here. You have got no right to always be angry with her when she has not done anything wrong.
Ruben, Benji's nephew, told his aunt to let Fidelina leave if that's what Fidelina wanted. He stuck up for her.
She did not do anything to you. Why are you always mad at him?
And it meant the world to Fidelina to hear him do that.
That's why I'm happy. I'm happy because I'm the one who take care since she born 22 years old. She loved me.
Fidelina had taken care of the nephew Ruben since he was born. And now he was coming to her side and explaining the truth of the situation to his aunt Benji. Is that what changed your mind? When did you decide
that you... I said, okay, I will go.
And so she went.
I had not packed anything, but I had decided to go. So the FBI told me, let us go. Go get your clothes. And I asked them, where am I going to live now? And they told me not to worry and that they had a place for me.
The Filipina translator and the PWC worker who had replaced Mirla at this point scooped up her clothing.
All my clothes.
And Fidelina left.
I did not say bye. No, I'm happy to go out in the house because somebody saved me my life. Now I'm free. I'm happy.
In January of 2019, Benedicta Cox, Benji, was taken to court for her treatment of Fidelina. Fidelina was awarded $101,119.98. The Filipino Worker Center calculates that assuming that she worked 24/7 from the day she arrived in the U.S., just based on a minimum wage, no overtime, she'd be due back wages of over $1.6 million. And yet,
the judge asked if, when they ruled in favor of her, if she would like to put in jail this woman, and she said, no, I forgive her.
Fidelina refused to send Benji to jail.
You got her off the hook when she's this woman, you know, almost like enslaved you. She said, yeah, I did, because I also cared for her. It wasn't at all surprising, but the surprising part is that how she was able to articulate it, you know, and show her wisdom. Because she, before she left, it was like her reasoning is always for her boss. But now she could reason for herself.
Benji was placed on house arrest, and in May 2019, she passed away. Fidelina says she cried when she heard of her death. She put flowers on her tomb last time she visited the cemetery. Fidelina lives in a nursing home now, where she's taken care of for a reduced fee.
They are all nice to me here. They call me Nanay.
A term of respect for older women in the Philippines.
In the morning, when I wake up, I say, good morning. Good morning, Nanay. Everybody's calling me, also the guy.
They all show me respect.
Yeah, now we joke about her that she's already a doña.
What's a doña?
Doña is something like a rich woman, matriarch of a rich family. So that's a joke. Oh, doña ka na.
After a lifetime of taking care of other people, someone's finally taking care of Fidelina. She gets manicures now. There's a salon inside the nursing home where she gets her hair done.
Masaya ko.
I am happy. Look at my hands. My nails are nice. My palms are soft.
Very nice.
Thank you.
She doesn't get out much, which is disappointing to her. And she wishes the food were a little better. But she's friends with the cook, so she'd never say anything. Wouldn't want her friend to know why she doesn't always finish her meals. She celebrated her first birthday party ever last year in the dining hall in the nursing home. Since she lost her paperwork so long ago, she's not so sure of her exact age. But the authorities calculated about 83. She was born on the 4th of July.
It's Unfictional, and you were listening to an episode called The Rescue. It was produced by Paulina Velasco. The editors were Carla Green and myself. I also did the sound design and score. Additional original music from Chris Katinas, with translation help from Mark Escalante. And the voice of Fidelina was Alice de la Peña. And before we go, I want to go back to Professor Rosel Perenas of USC, who you heard in the beginning of the program. And when I asked her if there was anything else she would want people to know after they heard the story, she said,
what I don't want is for individuals to stereotype Filipino households as oppressive units and that this practice is common in the Philippines. That is not true. Such mistreatment of workers is not common.
I'm Bob Carlson. Be sure to subscribe to Unfictional wherever you get your podcasts. And catch up on this season's episodes that you may not have heard yet. And coming up on the next episode of Unfictional. When she was growing up, the only constant in Mary's life was motion. She was constantly moving, always living in new places, new situations. And since she's a musician, she set her life stories to music.
Mom was passionate and needed a rescue. Ed DeSohn was a prosperous investment banker. Both are raising broods of four alone. He wasn't divorced yet, but soon he and Mom got engaged, and we were going to be like the Brady Bunch with martinis.
Rolling Thunder. That's next time on Unfictional. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Bob Carlson, the producer of Unfictional. Chrissy Barker provided vital production help, sings, and plays the musical Saw. Theme music by Alex Weston, with music help from Joe Augustine and Narrative Music. The managing producer of the program was Carla Green. Please join me next time for Unfictional from KCRW.